Jesus and his disciples went to Capernaum. Capernaum was on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. It was Peter's hometown. When the Sabbath came, they entered the synagogue, and Jesus taught there. The people there in the synagogue, the people of Capernaum, were shocked. They were astounded at Jesus' teaching. For he taught, and this is what Mark says, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes, but as one having authority. The scribes, the religious leaders, the scholars of the age, and the leaders of the Jewish community, they would teach by precedent. They would teach as others had taught. They would teach from the law. They took the 10 simple commandments of Yahweh. They took the 10 commandments and converted them into 600 plus rules and regulations for how to live your life. And they taught by those precepts. Jesus was constantly blowing those precepts away, blowing that process away. Jesus was offending the religious rulers and leaders of the day. He was offending the scribes and the Pharisees of the day. He was disrupting the status quo of the day. After all, he would heal on the Sabbath day. He would eat with sinners and tax collectors. I mean, right there, eating with tax collectors, that'd bother me a little bit right there. I'd be a little nervous about what I would offer them to eat, for they'd think I'm giving them too expensive a meal and want to check my income to see if it equates. I wouldn't want to be messing around with them tax collectors. Keep them far away from me. Amen? Anybody here work for the IRS? Amen. Jesus was always upsetting the status quo. He was always changing the expectations, adjusting the norms. He took those 10 commandments, which had been modified and expanded 60 times into over 600 different rules and regulations on how the people were to live their lives, and he distilled them down to two. Love the Lord your God, and love your neighbor as yourself. From 600 plus to two. Now, if that doesn't disturb the status quo, I don't know what will. That sounds like the United Methodist Church. The General Conference could learn from this. The discipline used to be rather thin, my friends. It's gotten really fat with all the rules and regulations that have been added to it. Rules and regulations which are usually designed to control what people do and control their living and moderate their lives and guide them from day to day, because obviously they no longer know what they're supposed to do or how they're supposed to do it, and must be told what to do and how to do it. We must be able to measure things and quantify things and see results and be able to measure those results. We must be able to determine the validity of the work involved and must be able to quantify it with numbers. Those rules and regulations that govern our daily living. Jesus wasn't interested in any of those. Jesus isn't interested in numbers. Jesus is interested in love. Jesus is interested in faith. Jesus is interested in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is interested in a way of living that is in accord with the grace and the love and the faith of God Almighty, not in rules and regulations. And that is the situation into which Jesus walked in the synagogue at Capernaum. He entered this synagogue and confounded the leaders. He teaches as one with authority. Authority seated in himself, not authority in other religious leaders, not authority in other teachers, not authority in the law, but authority in himself. And this was an amazement to them. In the midst of this situation, a man who had been in the synagogue before, a man whom they obviously knew. There was no indication there was any problem here. There's no indication he was an unknown factor. A man whom they knew comes up and says, "Jesus of Nazareth, you are the Holy One of God. We know who you are." This man comes up and says, "We know who you are. Have you come to destroy us? Have you come to destroy us?" This was a man who had an unclean spirit. And in all this discussion about this unclean spirit, in all the discussion about how you're to address this issue and how you're supposed to interpret it here in the 21st century, and it's usually interpreted as being some kind of a mental illness or multiple personality disorder or schizophrenia or some other medical condition that can be understood and quantified and interpreted and shown how we could possibly deal with it on a worldly level, medical level, all that's useless to me. What I find amazing is that this man with this unclean spirit, this man was in the synagogue and apparently uncontested there. This man was known amongst the people, and yet he's in the synagogue. A man with an unclean spirit in the synagogue. And at first, this just strikes me as being almost incomprehensible. This strikes me as being strange. It strikes me as being weird. And then I realized it's really no different than today. Our synagogues, our churches, our religious communities, our denominations, our conferences, our general conferences have people in them with unclean spirits. Yeah. I pastored a church. I pastored a church 16 years ago. 16 years ago. That had members of the Ku Klux Klan in it. And I did the horrible sin of receiving into membership an African-American couple. And the Klan came out of the woodwork, sheets and hoods and all. This was in northeastern Collin County. Not that far away. And I received an African-American couple into membership, and they went berserk. The death threats on the telephone answering machine. The death threat letters that came to the parsonage and to the church office. The spray painting, "In Lover," on the side of my car. The two pickup trucks full of sheeted guys coming to the parsonage front door to teach that blankety blank preacher a lesson. While the county sheriff shows up at the back door to get me and my cat away to safety. Yes, there are evil spirits even in the church of God. There are people who are governed by true evil. Even in the church of God. Theisms, racism, sexism, bigotries and hatreds. They rule people. Sometimes they creep up and surprise us with their strength and their vehemence, but they're there and they're real and they're still alive even in the 21st century. I used to think that evil was just a force. Evil was just a term for the darker side of human nature. I used to believe that the demons were just the tendency to badness that many of us would have, or a psychological failing on the part of many. And then I confronted personified evil in its most demonic form, wearing a white sheet and hood. All because I received two beautiful people and their little child into membership in a church. My brothers and sisters, there are indeed evil spirits in our midst. Exclusion, separation, division, discrimination, prejudice, greed. It's real. It's there. It's institutionalized in our churches. And it's something that Jesus, as the breaker of the status quo, comes to combat. Jesus looks at this man who has the evil spirit in him. "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" they asked him. "Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. Jesus comes to disrupt the status quo ante of our living. Jesus comes to disrupt the normalcy that is governed by these kinds of evil spirits. The spirit of racism and sexism. The spirit of discrimination and prejudice. The spirit of greed and envy and lust and anger. The spirit that drives people to exclude others due to their ethnicity, due to their wealth or lack thereof, due to their sexual orientation, due to their marriage or lack thereof, due to any characteristic that you might identify in their living other than love and loyalty to Jesus Christ. We are called to receive all into the family of God. I've been preaching this repeatedly here. We are called to receive all into the family of God without restriction. That means even if they don't look and smell or taste or act like us, we're called to welcome all into the family of God. If only the church universal would learn this calling. If only we, as the family of God right here, could fully express it. I look out on a congregation and I thank God. I'm looking at a beautiful rainbow of people, multiple ethnicities. I think it's wonderful. I want to see more. And I praise God for it. And you are to be commended for it. But there, it is a fact still today in the 21st century that this hour is the most segregated hour of American society. And it shouldn't be. For we are all called to be brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, children of God, without regard for gender, ethnicity, orientation, wealth, standing in society, social status. We're all called sisters and brothers. And yet, the evil spirit still reigns. Jesus' response draws the evil spirit out. And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. And they, the people of the synagogue, were all amazed. And they kept on asking one another, what is this, a new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. We need to be a people willing to break the bonds of the unclean spirits. We need to be a people willing to hear the call of Jesus, the one who violates the status quo, the one who upsets the apple cart of the established authorities, the one who says, my way is the way of love and grace and peace and faith and hope and joy, not the way of fear, ignorance, oppression, separation, denial. My way is the way of true divine righteousness, which means nothing more and nothing less than following the way God has for us to live. My sisters and brothers, we are called to be a church that participates in Jesus' busting up of the status quo. Jesus is establishing the kingdom of God here on earth. We're called to be part of the family that builds the greater family of God for all. Hear the good news. Whatever dark spirit may be languishing inside of you, it doesn't need to stay. I have loved ones, family members, who burrow down into the bed rather than get up on Sunday morning and come to church. It can be a beautiful day outside like today. Oh, it's too beautiful to go to church. Or it can be a rainy, miserable day. Oh, it's too icky to go to church. Church never wins, my friends, in those circumstances. You'll always not go. Or you could be so depressed, so pained on the inside, that you can't go to church. I know people who will make up the excuse, I don't have anything to wear. Huh? You got a pair of pants and a shirt, don't you? You got a skirt and a blouse, don't you? You got slacks and a blouse, don't you? You got clothing, wear it and come to church. It's not a fashion show. Yes, we could set up these platforms to make a runway here if we wanted to, but I don't recommend it. God simply calls us to be part of the family of faith. There are people, my brothers and sisters, there are dear loved ones of mine who don't come to church, who burrow down in their beds filled with depression. Each and every one of us fights with that. There have been weeks upon weeks when I have only prayed in direct connection with my work. Because I'm the pastor of the church, I gotta pray sometimes. There have been weeks and weeks and weeks when that's the only time I prayed. There have been weeks and weeks and weeks when the only time I touch the Bible is to do my job, to prepare a sermon or a Bible study, not for spiritual growth. There are plenty of weeks in my life when if I weren't the pastor of a church, I'd be in that bed still. Yep, I'd probably still be in that bed. I know what it's like. I know that the evil spirits can descend on you. The flashy ones are the ones like racism and sexism and homophobia and heterophobia and you name it. It's there. It's real. Those are the easy, flashy ones. The ones that are really pernicious, that sneak in, are the ones that govern and empower things like depression, darkness, guilt, insufficiency, embarrassment. Those that draw us to find excuses for not coming to the family of faith. anger at that person that said that thing to you 6 months ago, or a feeling of being uncomfortable because of what was said last week. Don't let the spirits do that to you. For when you don't come to church, when you don't participate in the family of God, when you don't participate in the means of grace and preaching and teaching and praying and praising in the Eucharist and baptismal remembrance and all that we do as the family of God, when you forsake the family of faith, you are staying away from the very place that can help you. When you stay burrowed down in the bed, you do no good. You only make it worse. It's dragging yourself out of that bed and dragging yourself to church, where you can be fueled and empowered and enabled by the grace of God to overcome the evil spirit. Yes. I sometimes wonder, why didn't the people, when they saw this guy with the evil spirit in him, why didn't they say, "Oh, you can't come to church. Ushers, get over here and get this guy out of here." No, thank God they didn't do that. Jesus instead demonstrated his authority and power in overcoming the evil spirit. And Jesus wants to do the same for us. Whatever evil spirits are bothering you today, whatever demonic powers or forces are impending on your life today, hear Jesus. Hear Jesus' words clearly to you. Words which overcome that which oppresses. My sisters and brothers, be open to Christ Jesus today. Commit to Him that which is oppressing you. And be ready to move forward in faith. Father and the Son of the Lord.
In your presence, Lord, let me learn at your feet. I will taste the riches of your word.
I've been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of Northgate United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2012 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at Northgate United Methodist Church, 3700 West Northgate Drive, Irving, Texas, 75062. This program was produced by Dr. Gregory Neal.